Well, welcome back. Still another hour to go of open lines here on Coast to Coast. You've heard some of the things we've been talking about. Whatever's on your mind, check in with us, and we'll get to your calls. Hey, I'm in Cincinnati this coming weekend at the Victory of Light event. It's a great event, some great guests. I get to meet my buddy Rosemary Ellen Guiley will be there on my panel, as a matter of fact. Full information at coasttocoastam.com. Those of you in the greater Cincinnati area, come in from Cleveland or wherever you want to, and let's have a great weekend there before I come back here. I'll be back here for a couple weeks. Then we have to do our Beyond Belief television show in Denver, and then it's back to Los Angeles for a while, and then it's into May. Can you believe that? Just where did this year go, my friends? Where did it go? Let's go to the phones. Next up, we go to Mike in Ohio. Welcome to the program, Michael.
Hey, good morning, George. How you doing?
I'm good. I hope you are, too.
I'm good. I'm really good. I just want to talk to you about your guest, Judy, and what do you think about the technology behind that, that something like that could happen to the world?
Well, I know that Tesla was working on it during his time, and that was a long, long time ago. It's very conceivable we have that kind of technology available today. Was it used for the buildings? I don't know. She's convinced it was.
I feel we do. I mean, I feel that, you know, like Newton and Tesla and Einstein, if they would have been able to figure out this technology today, they'd be sent back to kindergarten.
Yes.
But I don't think it could have resolved until we had the technology to control it with the way computers are and electronics are today. I looked into it about 10 years ago, and I think I realized we have the technology.
But why don't they use it more often?
I think they use it in that instance to prove to the world that we have it. You know, and Israel knew it. I mean, that's just my theory, that Israel knew it. It possibly we were going to say something to somebody else about it, and we had to make a pact with them, and then that's why Building 7 came down.
Yeah,
I
sure
don't know
did.
The reason why the buildings came down. But I knew whether it was going to be from the terrorists. Like, I thought the terrorists, okay, they put the planes in the building.
Yeah, they did that. There's no doubt about that.
They thought they were going to fall, okay, and then they realized, well, wait a minute, the buildings aren't going to come down. And then they did what they did.
Or they already had it. Or they had it planned. You know, the terrorist bit was just the front show.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they had all their other weaponry ready to go. And look what's happened to this planet since that tragedy.
Yeah, there's a professor in England, in Cambridge. I feel that he understands about that technology. But it could be used for great good or terrible evil.
Yeah, just like she said.
And, hey, you know my TV show that I liked in the 60s, 70s?
Which one was that? Hee-Haw?
Hee-Haw. Yeah. I loved it when they would come on the wall, you know, they'd open the windows or the letters or whatever and tell their jokes and the comedy behind it. And, you know, I want to say that because of Merle Haggard passing.
Oh, we lost a giant there. If you're into country music, you had to be into him.
Yeah, definitely. I really liked that show when I was younger.
Hee-haw. Yeah, they did pretty well. Hey, thanks, Mike. Let's go next to Lady in Alaska. Hello, Lady.
Well, good morning, George.
Morning to you. It's been a while.
Oh, it's been a long time coming. Hey, you had a gentleman that called in tonight about James Vernon McGee.
Yes.
The Bible. Okay, I'd like to tell him that McGee passed over December of 1988, and I think that the guest that he was referring to was Chuck Missler.
Chuck is still around, still kicking. Glenn Kimball passed on, but Chuck's still around.
I didn't hear about one that passed over. And also, you've been talking about the Shemitah.
Shemitah.
Yeah, nobody's thinking about it. But in 1967, June the 6th, right? That was the Six-Day War.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, it's going to be 49 years, right? And the year after that will be the Jubilee of 50. So this year, it's a Shemitah on that. And if you go two more years, it's going to be 70 years for Israel.
That's
and
right.
And everybody in America celebrated Easter already, but Passover ain't until the 23rd of April.
It's coming up. That's right.
Well, I want to thank you for taking my call, and I'm glad you're doing good.
Thanks, Lady. You too. Alaska. Next up, we go to Ed in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, Ed, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. Like, listen, I just wanted to touch base with you and go down memory lane for a few minutes on the Twilight Zone episode.
Oh, sure.
The old radio shows from back in the day.
Love them.
See, I think I'm probably just a year older than you, you know, but I grew up watching Twilight Zone, Night Gallery, Outer Limits. There was one called Majestic Theater that was out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, of course, you know, back in those days, you had a lot of the old westerns and stuff like that kind of dominated the airway, too, when TV first came out. We got our first TV in 1954. But, you know, George, I can remember when I was about 2 years old, remembering my grandmother listening to soap operas on the radio.
That's right.
We ever had a TV. That was probably back about 52.
That's how that evolution occurred into television.
Absolutely. And, you know, and a buddy of mine, and I, too, he has an old console radio from the 1930s, stand-up console radio, and he used to listen to Coast on that thing. Now, he tells me Coast to Coast was on the air back in the 70s, but I argued that point with him. I told him I thought it came out in the 80s. But he used to listen to some kind of show back in the 70s on that old console radio, and it was the same similar format.
He listened to Long John Neville out of New York.
You think that's where it was from?
Yep.
Because he'd lay there in bed at night, you know, and he would listen and he'd tell me about all the stories he'd hear, you know.
Yep, that was it.
George, I've got an old radio that my wife, before she passed away, her dad was in World War II in Germany, and he brought a radio back from Germany that supposedly, now, I had no documentation to prove this, supposedly was Adolf Hitler's radio.
Wow.
It was a Philco radio, and it's supposed to have an external speaker with it, which didn't come with it, but he brought that back from Germany. Now, if you knew Sharon's dad, he's not the kind of guy to BS with people, if I can use that word.
Yeah,
you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? He was straight up, no-nonsense type person. He brought the radio back from Germany and just said this was Adolf Hitler's personal radio. He stuck it in the basement of the house.
How do you get it?
Well, I don't know. That's what I don't, you know, I never really had a chance to find out from him how he managed to get it back into the country. But you see, it's not uncommon during that time, soldiers, a lot of them, brought back souvenirs and stuff like that. That went on, you know, that was pretty commonly done. But how he got it back into the country, I don't know, because it's a rather bulky item, you know.
But, boy, if he could authenticate that, it would be worth a fortune.
Well, you know, I've got the radio now. Now, Sharon, my wife, passed away of cancer 5 years ago, and I had her bring the radio over here. Now, she had her own house over in Sand Springs, and, of course, I had my house.
Mm-hmm.
And I told Sharon, because the radio was down in the basement collecting moisture, and I said, Sharon, I said, my gosh, go get that radio and bring it over here so something don't happen to it, because some plumbers worked on her house one time. And she had, her dad had thousands of dollars worth of coins he had saved since World War II.
Oh, no.
And the plumbers got off with all that, right?
No.
Oh, yeah. You know, of course, she was naive about it, you know, or just didn't give it a thought, you know.
Yeah.
But they, you know, I'm surprised they didn't get off with that radio. So I convinced her she needed to bring the radio over here, and I was going to take it down and get it restored. But, you know, cosmetically, you know, it's better not to restore the absolute finish on them unless they're just completely totaled out. The radio's really in pretty decent shape. It needs a new rope. You know, on the old tuner, on those old radios, they got like a rope tuner around them.
A heavy piece of string, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that needs to be replaced and it needs to be cleaned up, but I would suppose it would probably still work with a little work on it. And I thought I might do that, get it restored in memory of her dad, you know, and Sharon, you know.
How cool is that?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Great piece of furniture, too.
Oh, yeah. But the Twilight Zone, man, I love it. Hey, you know, George, being without eyesight, I got all my entertainment from the old 1940s movies, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. Everything that I seen when I was sighted, grew up with, I plug that stuff in all the time and listen to it. I've got my own entertainment selected. I've got 300 aviation movies because I'm an aviation buff. That's one of my hobbies, right, growing up.
What do you do, Ed, when you get bored? What do you do?
George, I never stop. Every room in my house you go into, there's a radio. When you hit a light switch, a radio comes on. Every room you go to. And when I go to my computer room, of course, I work out with weights, exercise, try to stay fit.
Good for you.
I'm a very hyper individual. You know, I've got to be doing something all the time. And when I was working, I worked two jobs. Not because I had to, but just because I had that kind of energy. And I used to restore sports cars. You know, I was heavy into MGs and Austin Healey's and stuff like
really?
That. Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I don't think I've seen an MG, Ed, in God knows how long.
Well, you know, I had one that I drove for 10 years, bought another one, drove it for 5 or 6 years, had an Austin Healey that I drove. I had a friend that ran a restoration shop, and we had several MGAs in there, 1958 through 1960 MGAs. But I think I've owned about 4 or 5 MGs and about 4 Austin Healeys and a Sunbeam Alpine. And the first car I ever owned was a Morris Minor. I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's a little
No.
English car. It's a little sedan. And I think I bought each one of them for $50 a piece, brought them
No
home.
Way.
Oh, yeah. Of course, this was back in, you know, 1967.
But still, 50 bucks.
Yeah, 50 bucks. I pulled them home.
Buy 50 of them.
Yeah, well, you know, George, I swapped them off for 2 beautiful sports cars, 2 little Austin Healey Sprites. I swapped them off for them. And, but, you know, George, I was always busy doing something. You know, if they'd have had Ritalin when I was a child, I'd have probably...
They would have put it on you. How did you go blind, Ed?
Well, you know, George, I got hit in the eye with a rock when I was 7 years old, and it destroyed the eye instantly. Now, they tried to save the eye. Now, back in 1957, that's when that happened. Matter of fact, it was May of 57. They didn't have the technology they have today, okay? And what happened was it destroyed that left eye immediately. They tried to save it without having to remove it. And in the process of doing so, in about a month's time, the other eye started getting blurry. Now, you know...
That's weird.
Yeah,
that's...
it's weird. And I didn't understand it. Of course, I'm just 7 years old, so I'm not really understanding what's going on. So in about a month's time, the other eye started going bad on me, so they rushed me off to the hospital, and the doctor, they didn't discuss nothing with me. Of course, I'm just a kid. You know, what are they going to tell a kid, right? Well, you know, they had to remove the other eye, and that's what they told my dad, that the other eye would have to be removed, the damaged eye, in order to save the good
other
eye.
It was sucking from the good eye.
Yeah, it was an autoimmune thing. Something
God.
About my immune system would not... I don't fully understand it. To this day, I don't completely understand it.
But you're totally blind now.
Oh, I can't tell, but I can't even see a doorway. I can't.
So the other eye went anyway.
Oh, yeah, but both eyes are artificial.
And let me ask you this, it's going to sound strange, but no, well, you have an artificial eye.
Right.
It looks like an eyeball, right?
Oh, yeah, it's plastic.
And what do? They just pop it in your eye socket?
No, I pop it in and out myself and clean them.
You take it right out and clean it?
Yeah, and clean them.
And you just have like a hole there?
Yeah, where the eye used to be. Well, see, there's a socket in there. Well, first of all...
How do you know you've put it in with the pupil facing the right way, for example?
Well, you have to pay attention to the shape of the eye. When they make the eyes, you have to pay attention to the shape of it and familiarize yourself. When you pull it out, you've got to remember... When you've got it in your hand, you got to remember the shape of it and which part of the shape goes where.
Would it fit anyway?
No.
Okay, so you like feel around and you know you know what the front part of the eye is.
Well, you can get it crooked, but you see now, the eye that I went blind in when the World Trade Centers came down, that's how long my eyesight lasted until the World Trade Centers came down. The eyeball itself, the original eyeball, is still in there, but it's like a basketball. It just deflated.
Okay. Now, when people look at you, do they know you've got phony eyes?
Well, I guess they look pretty good. I mean, the lady that made them for me, there's a lot of people, I guess, that have to wear them.
How much do they cost?
Well, they're about $10,000 a piece, and the lady that made them for me, she said, what color eyes do you want? I said, well, as long as we're selecting color, I'll go for blue, you know.
Yeah, but now they don't move, right?
Oh, yeah, they move.
I mean, so if you wanted to look up, let's say, you can't see, but if you wanted to look up, would the eyes go up?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, here's the thing. Here's what a lot of people don't understand about blind people. Now, okay, for one thing, people that have been blind all their life have no concept of eye contact with people, okay? They have no concept about what anything looks like. I got a couple of lady friends that I met after I lost my eyesight that I was hanging out with for a while, and they helped me get used to being blind, right? Okay, well, anyways, so I was talking with Diane. Diane says, well, Ed, it must be tough on you, the fact that you can't see anymore, and you've always been so on the move and worked all these years and stuff like that. And I said, well, Diane, I've got a lifetime of memories because I grew up knowing that I'd be blind someday, and I pushed the envelope, George. I lived life to its fullest my entire life.
And that's the way you should.
Yeah, absolutely. It only comes around one time.
That's,
you know,
right.
And Diane, well, see, she never had that privilege. You know, she grew into this world in darkness, and so she's never been able to see the things that I've seen and enjoy. So I told Diane, I said, well, Diane, I disagree with you. I said, I've had a lifetime of memories. I don't hold, I'm not mad, I'm not bitter about it.
One quick question, Ed, then I got to run.
Okay.
What's the one thing you will always remember seeing?
Oh, man, there's so many things, George. Oh, gosh. Well, aviation is my true love. Okay, I used to go to air shows all over the United States looking at vintage aircraft. And as far as physical things that you would actually see with your eyes, I guess it's my love for aviation and going to air shows and enjoying looking at all those aircraft. And I'm nuts over aircraft and aviation, George. And I guess that's the one thing I would probably miss. George, I still collect model airplanes.
I love it. Okay, I got to run, Eddie, but you keep in touch.
Oh, yeah, George. All right. Have a good evening.
Okay. Wow, that's fascinating, huh? $10,000 each for artificial eyes. Tom, you've got a text for us.
Yeah, he sounds like a neat guy, by the way.
Yeah, full of energy.
Justine from Santa Fe, New Mexico. I'm optimistic that things will get better no matter who becomes our new president. What I wanted to know is, who has been your favorite president that has served in your lifetime?
Well, I was really too young to say Kennedy was my favorite, so I don't know. Nixon had some strengths. He had some attributes. Watergate killed him, of course, but the guy's foreign policy was magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson, I was really never a fan of. Never a fan of his. Yeah, I was only, you know, what was I, 14 years old when he was 13, actually, when he was president back in 63. So I was never a fan of him. Nixon, Carter, meh,
yeah.
Not really. Ford, meh. Reagan, I liked Reagan. I thought Reagan did a good job. Senior Bush, nah.
It's hard to pick, huh?
Clinton,
like a good one.
Nah.
Yep.
The other Bush, nah.
Yeah.
President Obama, nah. Probably just Reagan, I think.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I didn't miss any, did I?
No, I think you got them all. Well, in your lifetime.
In my lifetime. So how about you?
Probably Reagan. Probably Reagan. You know, it's for as long as I can remember, it's always the worse of the...
Plus you're an L.A. boy.
Yeah, so you vote for the better of the two evils, you know? That's as much as I can remember.
I was used to do my Reagan impressions.
Go ahead.
Well, Nancy and I are going to build a Star Wars program. Well, how was that?
Okay, now do Kennedy.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
You have a much better Kennedy.
That's not bad, is it?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Well, we'll be back. On our next Coast to Coast program, split show for you for the first couple hours. Scott Portzline joins me after we do some of our news roundup of the day, and we're going to talk about, is ISIS targeting nuclear power plants? And then psychic Anthony Carr joins us. We're going to talk about the life of Harry Houdini. I'm looking forward to that. Okay, welcome back. Final segment here of Open Lines on Coast to Coast. Let's go to Jake in Salt Lake City on the Skype line. Hey, Jake, how are you?
Good, how's it going?
Good. Good to have you with us.
So I called in because I'm an audio engineer here in Salt Lake City. I teach music production.
Oh, great.
So what I'm calling in about is frequency, waves in general.
Mm-hmm.
We had a gentleman call earlier. By the way, I listen to your show every single night, religiously, pretty much.
Great, thank you.
He talked about the universe and sort of his idea, there's no past or present. Remember that guy? He is what inspired me to call. My big theory on the universe is the Big Bang happened, you know, and so everybody says, kind of like this, the moon... I explain this to all my students about sound. The moon goes around the Earth. That's a big wave. The Earth goes around the sun. That's a big wave.
Mm-hmm.
Our heartbeats, the water cycle, day and night, death and life. it seems to be that everything in nature is just a wave of some sort. So basically, the idea is that fractals are infinite, and so that being said, everything must just be a wave.
But I wonder how, Jake, did all this happen? That's the big question.
Yeah, you're right. That is the big question. But fractals are never ending, and they don't have a beginning either, it seems. So it might be beyond us. Maybe that's the whole thing. It's just past our realm of...
Well, that's it's an interesting theory, but I'm convinced that the cosmetic makeup of the universe is the same throughout the entire universe. All the principles work the same, no matter what solar system you might be in. Let's go to Bonnie from somewhere on Coast to Coast. Hey, Bonnie.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I appreciate it. I wanted to ask you, have you ever been to a study?
A study?
Sea study.
No, I haven't physically been there, no.
Okay. Well, I went there last July, and I met Randy Kay there. And first of all, just to touch on the persons or people that have come on your show talking about robotics and, you know, how it's going to be in the future, it might be. It already is.
Oh, it is.
I mean, yeah. Absolutely. You people that, you know, the movie Terminator was absolutely true. It's not science fiction. It's happening now. And it's very everywhere. You'd be astounded at. But Randy, you know, did show us that he is part robotic, and he was, you know, talking about, you know, some of the ways that they do it, and how, you know, they can clone a part in just minutes, and you know, even organs, you know, in just minutes. And I said, well, geez, you know, gosh, that would help so many people. He said, yeah, but they're never going to know about it. You know, it's just only very select people that they will do that to, or for. But I have not been able to reach him for a long time, and neither has anybody that I know that knows him. And I wonder if you have heard, you know, anything or, you know, at all about him, his whereabouts, because I guess I'm a little concerned. You know, nobody's really been able to reach him for a while.
Nothing on the web about him?
I'm sorry, George?
Nothing on the website about him?
Well, not that I've, you know, been able to find. And certainly, I mean, people that have his cell phone number, you know, we're just getting messages that say...
That's weird.
Voice box is full for months. And
that doesn't, you know, sound good.
Yeah, people that know him pretty well haven't really been able to reach him. So I just thought I'd put a shout out and just find out, you know, if you know, and he could call, if he's out there anyway. I'm just concerned about him. But also, I did some research, and I don't know if you know this or not, but I just happened to put in John Teeter's name at one point, and
the alleged, you know, time traveler,
right? I did a search on him just to see what was out there, and there are actually two John Teeters in the country, and one was born in the 60s and one was born in the late 90s, and they both live within about an hour of the new NSA facility, which I thought was interesting.
Now, the John Teeters that we've known, according to their family attorney, was a little boy. He was, I think, from Florida, but they moved to, like, Nebraska or Omaha.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I don't buy it. I mean, I think it would be more in line with maybe the stuff he knows, knew, whatever, that he would be working for NSA. Certainly that he was in Utah, I thought that was interesting. Huh. There were no others in the country, you know, and
right.
I did the search back like 3 years ago and found that, you know, it was interesting that there were two of them, and they were right in Utah, right next to that new facility. So, you know, there's a ton of other things I'd like to talk about. I know you don't have to, probably have time here today, but, you know, if you could just put the word out to anybody, if they have seen Randy, you know, we would love to hear from him and make sure he's okay.
I think it's weird that nobody knows what has happened to him.
Yeah. And then he's just, you know, his cell phone's not really reachable right now.
That alone is weird.
Yeah. So, but listen, I appreciate your taking my call.
All right, Bonnie.
I'll be calling back soon.
Thank you very much. Tom, last text of the night. What do you have?
From Bobby in Connecticut. You guys will love this. I went to my neighbor's cremation the other day.
That's fun. Let's go to a cremation.
I wasn't ready to see the process, and it made me sick. I'm curious if you know anyone that has been cremated, or would you ever consider going like that yourself?
My father was cremated. That was his wish. And,
really?
And so that's what they did with him. Mom's got his ashes at home in Dearborn, and that's where he is.
Do you see it, like, when they do it?
No, you don't see that. You don't even know what's going on.
Well, this guy apparently did because he got sick.
I mean, once the funeral's over, they take them, and that's it. So be it. Would I do it? You know, I've got this weird thought about death. This is my theory. This is kind of scary.
Go ahead.
When you die, you're still functioning. Your mind functions. It's like this is like a Edgar Allan Poe book.
Oh, that's creepy.
This is a Stephen King book. That everyone who dies, this is assuming there's no afterlife, nothing. But when you die, you're still entombed in your body, but you can't move. So you're in this casket. The lights are out. You're fully awake mentally, but you can't move because your body doesn't function. The mind lives forever.
You come up with this.
Isn't that horrible?
It's like that movie, which was he went into heart surgery or something, and he felt everything. Remember, because the anesthesia didn't work.
What was that movie about? Drink the Coffee, Jeff.
The Vanishing.
Yeah.
Great movie.
With Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges,
right?
Yeah. He was buried alive.
Buried alive. That's it. That's my theory that I won't really believe, but that's my theory of death.
So you're sentenced forever? You're lying there forever, buried, thinking?
Yes, forever. The mind goes on forever. You're in this casket. Man. To everybody. Isn't that horrible? What a movie that would be.
Where do you come up with these?
Crazy.
So when you're cremated, then, what happens?
It's done. It's over. You don't have that anymore.
And you feel the heat, though, because your mind is active.
No, you don't have the sensory from the body.
Yeah, but your brain controls everything on your body.
It's not a brain. It's not your brain. It's your mind that is not connected to the brain.
Wow. That's going to keep me up.
I love it. Let's go to, speaking of things, when are you flying out to Cincinnati?
Friday morning.
All right. I'll see you out there that night.
You got it.
We've got Jimmy Church filling in Friday night. Good old. I was on Jimmy's show today. Had a great time doing that.
Good.
I had a fun time. I was on for an hour.
What'd you guys talk about?
It's Fade to Black. And we talked about everything. Coast to coast, how I started, what's going on. And he had fun doing that. So back to the phones we go with the time remaining. Roy in Iowa, it's your turn. Hi, Roy.
Hello, how's it going?
Good. How about you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Glad I made it.
Me too. What's up?
Well, you know, I have a comment about tonight's show.
Okay.
With Dr. Judy Wood. And, you know, she didn't, or none of you guys was talking about how it could have been delivered because you don't know, but there's a interesting video on YouTube called 9/11 Eyewitness Hoboken, right?
Okay.
And the video was filmed by this internet newsman from the Hoboken Pier.
All right.
And it shows choppers flying over the towers. And
before the planes hit it or after?
After the planes hit it, before the collapse, and they're not there rescuing people, and it appears like white beams shooting down from the choppers.
Really?
This is on YouTube. This is on YouTube. You can see this. And I was just wondering if maybe that was that directed energy weapon.
Interesting.
And I just wanted to get on there and for your listeners and you and, you know, and if Dr. Judy Wood still listening, you know, could check this out, and maybe that's how they delivered the attack, you know, that started off on the collapse. Also, I found another video showing the debris of World Trade Center 7 from above, and the very center of it was really pulverized, or what did Dr. Judy Wood call it?
Powderized.
Whatever she called it, you know. The center of it, the debris was really just demolished, where the outside chunks were bigger.
Yeah.
And it looked like something, you know, like a Death Beam hit it from above, you know, and these are just videos to check out on YouTube. That
all right. Can they Photoshop some of that? I wonder if they can to play around. I hope not. Michael in Long Island in New York. Hello, Michael.
Hello, George. How are you today?
Good. I'm doing fine.
I just wanted to share my anecdote about 9/11 because I was there. I was a volunteer for American Red Cross.
Okay.
I don't know anything about dustifying that she talked about. I mean, I'm not a scientist. My only take on it is if the technology exists and was used, it wouldn't be long for other governments, just as evil as the government that used it, to get a hold of it. So we have, I think in political science, they call it countervailing powers. So one evil outdoes the other, and they're kind of neutral. That's possibly the reason we haven't seen it happen again.
All I know, if we had it as a government, I would be using it all over the place against some of these heinous dictators.
Right, but maybe as soon as it was invented, it was distributed equally.
To kind of balance things?
Yes.
Well, that's a possibility. It is. Time for a few more calls. Annie's in Alabama. Hello, Annie.
Yes, I'm calling about the new high fructose corn syrup that has replaced the sugar and stevia in Sierra Mist. It's now called Mist Twist. The solution for that is everybody call Pepsi at once and demand your money back and get a case number. If they get flooded enough, it'll happen just like it did with the old Coke. They had to go back to the old Coke because the number of complaints. And the new packaging also with foods and supplements has lids with no threads. It's not airtight. It does not screw on. It gets contaminated with germs and bugs that are too small to see. People are getting sick. Like I said about the other product, everybody call the manufacturer at once and demand your money back and get a case number. Because there's no excuse for these lids to have these hatches on here that are not airtight when they've had lids with threads that screw on for over 100 years. Why would they want to go to something that's less?
And those things worked. They worked well, didn't they?
You get your own mason jars, and you can order your own lids, one-piece lids. You don't have to have two-piece lids. And when you get the stuff, transfer it immediately because it goes bad extremely fast. Supplements, coffee, they want it to go bad. They want it to rot overnight so they can make you buy some more.
Or buy the real stuff, too. You never know. That's our Consumer Report from Annie in Alabama. She pops on every once in a while with that kind of information. So a little information here. Don't forget, those of you who want to meet up with people, go to ParanormalDay.com. Don't forget to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We've got Instagram as well. And we do put up our digicams. Always go to our website, coasttocoastam.com, several times a day. Just look at all the stories on the highlight reel, in the news, and the guests. And after the show, by the way, we have that recap where we put, you know, all the information about the show. And, of course, bumper music's there. And sign up for the free Coast Zone newsletter, too. For Dan Galante, Tom Dandizer, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Dory. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.